I'm going to call the meeting to order. And since we just did the pledge to the flag, I think everyone who is here now was there then. So we'll forego that if that's okay with everyone. Anybody object to that? Okay. So then I'll accept the motion to approve the minutes from the November 5th meeting.
So moved.
Chairman Donaldson, second.
Second.
Legislator Ushetel, all in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, thank you. Okay, great. This works out well. So what we'll do tonight we have a presentation by Cubic Creative Incorporated, doing business as Abello and Company, with Director of Tourism, Lisa Berger, and they're going to go over the tourism plan for 2021, the proposed tourism plan for 2021. So, Lisa, I'll hand this over to you, and then you can do any introduction that needs to be made, if that's all right with you.
Sure. Thank you, Chairman Cahill.
Thank you.
We are thrilled to have this time with you. I'm going to toss it over to Evelyn, who's going to introduce our team from Belo. Evelyn?
Thanks, Lisa. Good evening, everyone. So we're delighted to have the team from Belo here. I'd like to introduce Rachel Mosley, who's our project manager. She's going to be kicking off the presentation. I'm going to ask her to introduce the rest of the team who's here with her.
Thank you, Evelyn. Hi, Rachel Mosley. I am the senior account director at Belo, and I have with me tonight, I've got Sean Krugel, who's our vice president of creative strategy. I've got Nikki Shack, who's our director of digital media. And I've got Billy Culkin, who's our chief growth officer. And so with that, I am going to, if you guys are ready, Evelyn, am I okay to start our presentation?
Mm-hmm.
Thanks so much for having us tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Appreciate it.
Oh, it looks like, can someone give me screen sharing?
Hold on, can you allow Rachel, there she goes. Thank you so much.
Sorry, I didn't mean to share my screen. Hold on.
Technology.
You found out an awful lot about you, Fawn. You might be
yeah. I was looking at other stuff. I was sitting here waiting.
It's okay. It's worth the wait.
There we go.
Got it, Rachel?
To be able to share now.
Okay. Thank you.
There we go. Okay. So, just one second. Okay. Is that coming through for everyone okay?
Right.
Okay, fantastic. So again, thank you guys so much for giving us the opportunity to present to you tonight. We have been working with the county for several years, and I can say that we have really enjoyed our partnership with you, and as well as the results that we've been able to build with the Ulster County team, and we're really excited about moving forward into 2021. With that, I'm going to go ahead and hand it off to Billy to.
Yeah, thanks, Rachel. Good evening, everybody. Again, I want to echo what Rachel had said. Thank you so much for having us. We're excited, and we are Emerson fans, and we cannot express how enthusiastic we are about where we have been, but more importantly, really where we're going. The work that we have done together has been beneficial, not only to us, but obviously to the county with the results that we have had over the years. Rach, you want to flip to the next slide for us?
Sure.
We believe we have incredible momentum right now. And for those that are not really familiar with Belo, we wanted to, I guess, talk a little bit about us just for a moment and where we have I've really been. Over the years, we have developed the Seek for Yourself campaign, which you are familiar with, and we believe our best opportunities really lie ahead of us. We're proud of what we have done, but where we're going with this campaign is pretty special. What we love most about it is the flexibility and fluidity that it has in it, not only for tourism, but as we begin to think about or continue to really think about economic development and what it can do, both for tourism and economic development is pretty special. What I particularly love about it and what you guys will also like about it is from an investment standpoint, you guys have done everything right, meaning since we started working with you, you've allowed us to go through a process from the research, from account planning, from, you know, data and analytics to get us to where we are. And the nice thing is we don't have to reinvent anything. We're simply going to continue to add to the work and the level of effort that we have done so far with the Seek Yourself campaign. Our organization really, we believe we have a deep understanding, obviously, with tourism and economic development. If you don't know, we work with many communities and counties across the country. Clearly, because of our experience with Ulster, we're not New York, but our experience has allowed us to really have a deep understanding of the county, and something that we're very proud of. There's about 150 of us at the agency, and we're really, what that means to you is, as we need to tap into other services, be it data, be it content development, be it web development, be it strategy, be it research, that we do all that in-house. And there should be some comfort to that as you think about the level of expertise that we now have as being part of BLO. From a capability standpoint, I don't want to steal Nikki's thunder, so I'm just going to touch base on this for a little bit, but the type of tools that we're using, particularly from data and specifically for media, really allows us to leverage better media rates and be way more targeted to who we're actually speaking with to really eliminate waste. And we're always really focused on moving things up and to the right, that we want to be focused on growth, and we have been focused on growth. At the end of the day, it's not about us. It's not about the awards that we have gotten from the work that we have done. It's really about increasing tax revenue for you guys to provide, you know, your citizens and your community and communities and county, the opportunity to provide, have a better lifestyle. And that's what we've done. And that's what we're trying to do. And then certainly, you know, we have talked a lot about tourism and economic development and the lines that now have blurred, which we believe is a very powerful and good thing. So we, as I mentioned up front, from a campaign standpoint, we fully intend to integrate the Seek for Yourself campaign, both for tourism and economic development. And then last, you know, what's on everybody's mind is COVID. We're seeing this across the country with many of our other tourism clients. This is something that obviously we have been talking about for the past year. There's a great anticipation for all communities that we work with to begin to come out of COVID. What we're seeing is we're seeing many of our clients invest heavily now. So we're anticipating recovery in first quarter, and so they really want to be top of mind. But we have been very nimble in the way in which we have worked. We've pivoted pretty well. And there are still many things that we can do for COVID and things that we're already thinking about for COVID recovery. And I just wanted to, before I turn this over to the team, again, say thank you. We're excited. We believe in what we're doing, and we're really, really proud, not only of the work that we've done, but certainly the results, because that's, you know, proof's in the pudding.
All right, thanks, Billy. We're gonna hand it over to Sean now to really talk through the brand strategy behind the Seek for Yourself brand and campaign.
Again, thank you so much, all of you who are taking your evening to give us some time. I don't want to talk too long just because we have a lot to get through tonight, but I did want to talk a little bit about kind of uncovering where Seek for Yourself came from. Most of you, or several of you, probably know to a certain extent, but the slide you have in front of you is to get lost on purpose in a soulful, beautiful, and authentically historic area that embraces storytelling. This is not a vacation. it's kind of a bold thing to say when you're working on tourism, to say to someone that you're going to come here and it's not a vacation. So what am I getting? It's a destination for discovery. I know that, you know, growing up in Detroit or Chicago or living in Tulsa now, that I was not used to things like townships and hamlets and cities and villages. And what I quickly learned when we first got the opportunity to even come to Ulster County, that there were 25 to 50 different destinations in one county, in one place. And the other thing that struck us initially is that when you go from one to the other, Kingston to Saugerties to Phoenicia to the Emerson to Rocking Horse Ranch to Mohonk to Huguenot Street to et cetera, you don't, it's not necessarily very obvious that you're moving from one destination or place or township or hamlet to the next. It's not very prescriptive and it's not very obvious. And I think what struck us first was that that could be seen as a very bad thing in a lot of places. But when it comes to Ulster County, that is actually the strength, is that you move from one place to the next in many senses without knowing it. And so it just lends itself to this idea of discovery. And the people that were coming there craved that. If you'll move to the next slide, Mosley. So when you're moving into these different areas of town and you're seeing galleries and restaurants and monuments and historic corners and trails and rivers and bridges and bed and breakfasts and natural geographic formations and colleges, the whole experience is that it's not too prescriptive. And we felt like that was the biggest strength of the county, is that this is not going to be a place where we're going to tell you exactly what to do. In fact, it's the wrong thing to do. But if we invite, instead of instructing people, if we invite people to come seek for themselves, they will find an empowerment in that says, I'm going to make this trip what I want to make it. And on top of that, the way that younger people increasingly are traveling, and I shouldn't even say younger people, all people, is that they want to go back with a story and say, I did this first. Are they really the first person that discovered or have been there? Probably not. But if they leave Ulster County feeling like they saw it first, found that trail first, stayed there first, ate that first, we will have done a good job from an advertising and marketing standpoint if their experience is true to life from what they're telling them it's going to be. And I think that is what has worked so well for the county. So this quote that we quite like is, the traveler sees what he sees, the tourist sees what he has come to see, in the sense that we don't want to be overly prescriptive, but we always want to give people the sense that they know what they're going to get. But there's always that part of curiosity that we're tickling, that they're like, but there's probably something I'm going to discover on my own. And when you look at travel data or trends, if you're into that kind of thing, percentage wise or statistics, we'll see that that is in very much in line with how people want to feel like their vacation or tourism experience is going to be. I want to know what's coming for me, but I want to have the opportunity to kind of get off the beaten path myself. And we have played on that tremendously. And I'll let Nikki talk a little bit about who exactly is driven by that kind of mentality.
Yeah, absolutely. And so as Billy alluded to earlier, we leveraged a bunch of data and a bunch of resources we had kind of coming into our second year, third year of working with Ulster, that just capabilities we hadn't had previously. And through this new technology, we ran what we call an audience intelligence study. And it takes those points of interest that Sean was talking about, whether it be a lodging or whether it be a restaurant or a park or a bridge or anything that's really drawing people to it that they would make a trip for. We took all of those attractions and were able to look at some mobility data to discover where these people are coming from, what they look like from a demographic, psychographic, and media interest perspective. So we did all this really great data research, and from that we developed a couple of different audience personas that when we think about how we plan media and how we update the website to have a better user experience or, anything and everything that we think about as from an outward-facing perspective, we're able to rely on those personas to really give us some, insights grounded in data. And so what we've come up with just at kind of a high level is that our primary target audience is 25 to 54. We've had special focuses on millennials and families, and then we kind of focus on interests due to seasonality or, if there's a bunch of offerings in the county. So we've focused on apple picking, hiking. We've talked about craft food and craft beverages, outdoor activities, shopping and dining, history, all of those different interests that we saw within our data group, we then segment out in the different ads. And then you kind of see a secondary target demographic that's really super into outdoors and food. And so then we can even get a little bit more specific in messaging to them, understanding that potentially our people, our audience who most enjoy skiing, really engage well with us via email. So it really helps us be thoughtful all the way through. And then our geographic targeting was based off of that audience intelligence, that mobility data we got, as well as website trends we've seen. We're working on getting that, or we've got that implemented. So an additional tool on the back end of our website that's really telling us the same information, demographic, psychographic interests about people visiting our website. So we're not just leveraging old data. This is data that's continuing to grow and adapt with us. And this is something that we had run previous to COVID and is something that we have isolated data for COVID and can analyze that and gain insights through that. And then we'll be leveraging post COVID as we, however we emerge and whatever becomes of moving forward, we'll have the ability to segment that as well to better understand how our audiences have changed and their patterns and habits have changed so we can grow with them.
Right. That's a really perfect point, Nikki, is that we're looking at what we're calling early adopters to travel during COVID. Obviously, we're not focusing on demographics that are less prone to travel. We're focusing more on those that will be those early adopters. And we're using the data, the new Resonate data, the updated audience intelligence data to really fine tune that and continue to put our media dollars in places that will show the greatest rate of return. So it's just really powerful.
And we've also worked really closely with Rick when he was still here and Fran and now with Lisa to really be super thoughtful about our geographic targeting as well, because understanding what the limitations are with quarantine, with travel, and all those different things, and wanting to be thoughtful about who we are talking to at the time. So that's what kind of you can see. The primary target market is usually broader if we were in pre-COVID time. We talk to a lot more communities up in the Northeast. And then as we've kind of shifted now, those additional markets have really taken a back seat. And we've said, let's wait and let's focus on what is capable to actually occur in our community during this time period. So we've really focused heavily on drive travel. And as you can see, a lot of outdoor centric messaging. Mm-hmm. So our secondary target demographic kind of became our prime focus. Yeah.
Okay, and so I'm going to let Sean walk you guys through, because most of this takes place out of market, so a lot of you have not had the opportunity to see what the campaigns actually look like. So we've just put together some sample creative that I'll allow Sean to kind of walk you through, because he is the real strategist behind all of this.
One of the first thing I want to mention before I wrap about any of the creatives specifically is that we held ourselves to a kind of a mantra internally in working with Ulster County, in the sense that our job is not to change who Ulster County is. In fact, it would be a crime to do so. So we have a big board in our office that says our job is to elevate this brand without it losing its soul. We look at that every time we're developing messaging or creative or a strategy for anything, that we don't want to make Ulster County something that it's not. So we want to elevate what it is, but without losing, in fairness, some of the grit and authenticity that is innate in the county. And when we started this campaign, we focused very strongly on the Seek for Yourself moniker. But as we evolved the campaign, or called this Ulster County 2.0, so to speak, we added this ampersand so that we could give people a little bit more insight into, if I'm seeking for myself, what might I find? So in this sense, it's, you may find yourself at a bar, coffee shop where there's a musician, and you can seek for yourself, and you might stumble into getting a little funky. You might stumble yourself into taking a hike or finding a happy place that you didn't think existed. At least
and
in the
Sean, if I can interrupt you real fast, sure. One of the main things that enabled us to add this and get funky and find is that we were able to get that psychographic, emotional, dig into those emotional drivers, and that led us to be able to speak more directly to this audience as we learned more about them. So you'll see that some of them are very specific. Seek for Yourself and Get Funky. That lines straight back to our demographic and psychographic profiles. Seek for Yourself and Find Your Happy Place. So everything is very intentional. Sorry, Sean, go ahead.
Oh, that's okay. You can switch the slide.
Okay.
And this transferred, you know, obviously to not only the internet experience, but the website experience in terms of, and you can see a little nod to pivoting during COVID already, which is Seek for Yourself and Shop Safely in Kingston. So again, the messaging has evolved over time into wide open spaces, wide open. The great thing is, and we'll talk a little bit about this in a second, that a lot of our strategy pre-COVID was already very well equipped, prepared, and messaged to a pandemic that no one could have possibly foreseen. And what Ulster County has to offer in many ways lent itself very smoothly into the way that people started to have behavioral changes during the past year. And I would love to say to the entire group that we are the most prophetic agency known to mankind, but I'd be lying. Some things, sometimes you just get lucky. And in this sense, our positioning strategy works extremely well with where people's heads are at, and especially behaviorally where they're shifting and how they're navigating a very, I want to be responsible, but I really need to get out mentality. And it's that kind of mentality that we've been able to leverage pretty well, even moving into uncharted territory as we are now. So seek for yourself and find your spot, have an adventure, discover something special, has worked quite well for us even in 2020.
And these are actually animated digital ads that read almost more like video than like an animated GIF. The transitions are really smooth. We see really high engagement. So just for display purposes, we kind of screenshotted it out here, but they actually animate through really smoothly, just for a little bit of context. And here, you guys, I know that you'll have this presentation after we're done. We have a lot of creative to get through. I included some Vimeo links so that you can see some of the digital video spots that we have ran, as well as some of the online radio as well. So we will absolutely share this with you guys so that you guys can explore those afterwards.
So I wanted to add before we talk too much about COVID-19, I'm sure there's everyone on the call has been following it closely and wants the latest updates and is also extremely tired of hearing about it, I'm sure. Interestingly, though, our strategy for positioning the county has always been about getting out of crowded places. It's always been about reconnecting with the outdoors. It's always been about new ways to experience serenity, peace, beauty. It's always been about finding about less known, less trodden, and more alternative paths. Increasingly, you know, it's dovetailing with the way people are thinking about the way that their lives work in terms of work and family and adventure and recreation, and how those things, those lines between those things have blurred even more. Most of you, children or not children, work or at home, have experienced kind of, how can I work here but be in the place where I want? How can I be in the place where I want but also do some work? And Ulster is increasingly just based on the profile of where it is and what it is and what it offers. Works extremely well with where people's mindsets are going, and we can talk a little bit more about that later. But our strategy has worked incredibly well and has adapted really well to where we are now, and we don't see that changing based on people's psychographic mindsets and how they're thinking about work and life and vacation and time for themselves moving forward.
And so I just wanted to walk you guys through some of the adjustments that we made throughout the pandemic and ongoing. And so like Sean said before, the strategies are still our strengths. They're still our strategies. And as Sean said before, I would love to say like how prophetic of us, but we are lucky that Ulster County is positioned so well that it has the assets that resonate well with our target audience. And that has kept us extremely resilient through the pandemic and has allowed us to remain relevant with our target audience. And so some of the adjustments that we made were initially when the pandemic hit. We paused any active media campaigns that we had through May just to allow things to stabilize. And, you know, that was a very tumultuous time where everyone was kind of didn't know where to turn next. And we really just wanted to take a beat and allow things, allow us to collectively see how things were going to pan out and what was going to happen next. We came back in June and launched the Return to Nature campaign, which we're gonna walk you through what some of that creative looks like here in just a second. And we restricted our target audience to a very, our target market to a very short drive market. Like we mentioned earlier, of about 2 to 3 hour drive radius. Throughout the entire time, we maintained a social presence. So that was one thing that we did not pause. We maintained that social presence from March through May, and we'll talk a little bit more about that here in a second. We also shifted the newsletter format, which we maintained that presence as well. We shifted that away from something that had previously been more event focused to a more of a long form, almost editorial format. And in our spring newsletter, we really honed in on providing local support. And then as we moved through the summer, we shifted to more itinerary listicle type, outdoor activity focused content. And that content was able to play double duty. So not only did it go out in the newsletter, but we also leveraged it on the website as editorial content that performed really well as far as just deepening our relationship with our target audience and keeping them on the site longer and really engaging more with the site. And then we also emphasized support for local restaurants that were offering takeout and delivery through a landing page that we initially developed as like a pretty a quick fix to provide a resource for people looking for that. And then we worked with a couple of other resources to develop a more robust kind of like map landing page for that as we kind of move through the deeper into the pandemic. And so the Return to Nature campaign is really built on the fact that people are craving open spaces and an outdoor reprieve. So we positioned Ulster County as the ideal place for people to reset and with ample space to do so at a safe distance and in a responsible way. Our campaign elements include a mix of digital banner ads, online editorial content, online video, some kind of sparse online radio. We also created Zoom backgrounds to kind of tailor to people's lives, and we shared those out on social. And then obviously we adjusted our website brand windows, and we did some very limited print ads in some specific placements. And so hopefully these will play the way we want them to. Here we go. This is just a look at, we had three different messages from a digital ad perspective that we tested with different audiences. And I will say they all performed pretty shoulder to shoulder. They resonated with different people at different points of their, what I would call a grieving process. And so they just have a little bit different take on, you know, today's a new day, a little more optimistic approach there, seek for yourself and return to Ulster County. The next one focuses on wide open spaces, natural beauty, seek for yourself and step outside. And then the final one is step outside, rediscover nature's beauty, seek for yourself and return to nature. And then the CTA is just a strong plan your trip call to action. And so here's a look at the Return to Nature editorial. And I'm obviously not going to read through this with you guys. I'll allow you to do that at will. But one of them, we really focused in on five ways to reconnect with nature in Ulster County. And this is all based off of knowing that our target audience was primarily in a, you know, congested, small apartment living metropolitan area, knowing that they had been cooped up in their apartments and were ready for some fresh air and some room to roam. And then the other one was as we moved it through summer, capitalizing on almost like a local's perspective on like hidden fishing holes and things like that. Again, playing back to what Sean had mentioned earlier, if you can feel like you've discovered something or have the in on something. So this was five Ulster County spots to fish this summer. That we actually worked with a local fishing guide who kind of gave us some tips on that. And so here's a look at what the one of the main trends that we're seeing in digital video is that the shorter clips, the 15 second, 6 second format does extremely well. And these are also formats that can play before a user might be able to skip. So they're digesting all of the content in that short time frame. So that's the route that we went with these return to nature digital video ads. And then finally, providing local support. So it's always our goal to drive revenue within Ulster County, right? I mean, that's really why we get out of bed every day, is the impact that it has on the local community. And so we really shouldered that cause through the pandemic for every community that we work with. You know, obviously we're a little partial to Ulster County, as we have a long relationship with you guys and have been in market a lot, but just making sure that we're able to support those local businesses and drive revenue, as much revenue as possible, but also in a responsible way, right? So we, again, shifted the format of the spring newsletter to focus on ways to support local Ulster County businesses, and I'll show you what that looks like here in a second. We also created brand windows that were aimed at driving traffic to the landing page for the restaurant delivery and takeout. And then when outdoor dining opened, we also supported that through brand windows and things like that. And then we also helped create an interactive map, like I mentioned earlier, for the delivery and takeout. And then we showcased strictly local businesses on social. So traditionally, we do a lot of user-generated content that's posted from people who have visited Ulster County that we share. And through the pandemic, we really, when it initially hit in that March, April, May timeframe, we shifted that focus because we didn't have that influx of user-generated content that we normally have. We focused on showcasing local businesses and making sure that we were just driving as much traffic to them as we possibly could. And so here's a look at that newsletter, 8 Ways to Support Ulster County Businesses During the Pandemic. This performed extremely well, especially given that our newsletter subscriber list is primarily out of market, right? These are not people who are within Ulster County, but we had a lot of engagement with this newsletter and a really high open rate. So, you know, another thing that was really impactful to see is that the people that our audience has a lot of empathy and wanted to show as much support for Ulster County as they could. So that was really, really great to see. This is just a look at what a brand window looked like for the curbside takeout. This linked over to that interactive map. This is another one, how we transitioned when outdoor dining opened. So dine al fresco. And then this linked back to the restaurants that had outdoor dining available. And then from a social perspective, we really focused in on Ulster County's outdoor assets once we started to move through summer and rolled out that Return to Nature campaign. We focused in on highlighting the Mohonk Preserve, the rail trails, fishing, like you saw earlier, with that native content. We always repurpose content in as many ways as we possibly can. So if it goes out in a newsletter, we also add it to the site as editorial content, and then we'll dice it up and repurpose it out on social media as well, just making sure that we get as much use and legs out of a piece of content as possible. We also focused on sharing uplifting messages. We didn't talk about, you know, there's a lot of negativity around the pandemic. We didn't go there. We focused on uplifting. So this is kind of one of them. This image that you guys see over here, it's a piece of user-generated content. Someone returning to nature. They had posted this and tagged us in it. And then also we focused on promoting safe social practices. So yes, we're inviting you to come return to nature, but also like social distance, remember to be responsible, things like that. And then we promoted local initiatives like Project Resilience, again, the restaurant takeout and delivery, wineries and breweries when they were able to reopen and were offering tableside tastings and things like that. And then the events that had to shift from in-person events to digital events, we really made sure that we were supporting those and getting that message out there that that event was still happening. And then I just wanted to quickly share, again, you guys can kind of like look at these in more detail when at your leisure, but these are just some of the sample posts from, you know, starting in March all the way through the summer. And then the results, right? Why we all get out of bed. And so this, again, this is really what drives us, is that this $685 million in tourism spending in 2019, how impactful that is to the local communities in Ulster County is, that's why all of us do our job. That's it. I cannot tell you how much I enjoy working in tourism because of the impact that it has within the local communities. It's extremely rewarding to be able to drive results like this. And so thank you again for allowing us to be a part of that, because that is really, really incredible. And then I don't want to steal Nikki's thunder because
I just steal my thunder.
Sorry, I'm just waxing poetic about this. But you know, and also knowing that we are helping generate labor income of $354 million. Obviously, we're not doing that alone. We can't take credit for all of that, but just knowing that that is so impactful in so many people's lives, I can't think of another profession where I could get to say that I helped do that. So again, thank you for making my job rewarding. one other thing that I did want to point out is this tourism spending increase of $34 million from 2018 to 2019. I know from 2017 to 2018, we had about a 10% increase. Another thing that I guess I'm now bragging on ourselves, but we maintain the same budget year over year with Ulster County, and to see that we're continuing to reduce waste on our from a media perspective, we're doing more with the same. We're driving more results and we're driving more spending each year with the same budget. So that again, I think really speaks volume to the strategy that Sean and his team put together, the incredible, impactful creative that our talented creative team is able to put together, the team behind, like at Ulster County in market that calls us out and pushes us to do better. And then also Nikki's media placements that are just obviously resonating really well. So,
well, you stole all my thunder, right?
I know. I'm sorry. I was like, I'm not going to steal your thunder. And then I was like, oh, okay, yes, I am.
I'm just going to really quickly, I know we're getting tight on time and I don't want to, tuck your guys' ear off too much, but I just wanted to, Rachel, if you can go to the next slide, just talk through a couple highlights of, some of the success metrics we've seen this year and what we've kind of really wanted to call out here. So as we all mentioned, we shifted a lot of kind of the hard call to action, the hard sell during COVID. It went from plan your trip, visit here now, to being like, connect with nature, like get out, take a break, these kinds of things. So we tried to really foster that sense of community. And a great place we did that was on our social media. And you can see the incredible growth we had on both, on all of the channels, Instagram, Facebook, and Pinterest. And I really wanted to call out Pinterest because we went from not having a really active Pinterest that was not an initiative that we had focused on back in May, in March. And we went and launched a Pinterest and got all this great content on there from our website and all. And very quickly saw massive engagement on that platform. It was a trend we had seen where people really were engaging more on Pinterest during this time period. And so we were able to capitalize on that. And we saw that not only reflecting our on-platform engagement, but also in the people looking at check availabilities and looking at specific lodgings from Pinterest. We saw that it really did impact those numbers and really drive up those booking referrals. So, we have a couple other things on here. The influencer campaign that we ran over Labor Day, we had a massive engagement on that. We were able to try some new placement types with Instagram stories and Facebook stories, and reached over 1.2, million impressions. So really just had a massive impact for not a lot of investment there. The estimated media value, this is something that they say the tool we leverage generates this, and it essentially is just saying, hey, if you paid for all of those impressions through a traditional placement, you'd be looking at this type of investment. And so here's the value back to you of what you got through all of this earned media. Next, just looking at all of our, our impressions across all of our different channels. You can see we had 10 million impressions just for FY 2020 alone, and that is up through, Rachel, correct me if I'm wrong, the end of October.
Correct.
We pulled, and you can see just to Rachel's point, leveraging the same budget and really being thoughtful. If we've seen a whole bunch of from fiscal year 2017 through 2020, seeing 24.5 million impressions and just seeing how much of that has been made up in this year is really outstanding here. And then we always like to measure ourselves against the industry of tourism. And so our digital ads on a consistent basis perform 120% above the average click-through rate. So people who click on our ads are clicking at 120% more than others. And then lastly, we have some website stats here for this fiscal year as well. But really what I want to call out and is most exciting to us is the referrals that we get to show to our lodging partners and to our community that have been made from the Ulster County Tourism website. And those Book Direct referrals are up 23% year over year. So even despite those hard months that we've had, and the time when we had turned media down to a trickle, it's really, we've still seen a great resilience to Rachel's point. And we've really seen that when we have come back full force with this messaging, I've just continued to see month over month, this Book Direct referrals to continue to go up and up in months that we in years past hadn't seen that level of engagement anyway. So we're just feel good about the track that we're on and ready to pivot for what comes next. Rach, you can go ahead.
So we're going to talk through, as we're moving into 2021, what the travel industry trends are looking like. And I'm going to allow Sean to kind of talk you through each one of these and what some of those, again, what we talked about, some of those emotional drivers. And then we're going to walk through what our 2021 high-level strategy looks like as well.
Would you guys mind if I interrupted for a quick moment here? How much longer do you think you have as far as the presentation goes? Because I do want to leave some time for Q&A, and we do have other agenda items. I don't want to go too much longer, if that's possible. What are we looking at here?
We have 10 more minutes.
Oh, that's good. You're fine. Thank you.
Okay, Brian, let me rip through this for you.
He's a bad talker.
Let me rip this for you, Brian. So here's the thing. I'm not going to belabor each one of these. I think we kind of mentioned earlier that our strategy, part of it because we're geniuses, part of it because we're lucky, has hit on some trends that are pretty pervasive throughout the travel industry as it is. People want off the grid and intimate in the sense that I want to, even if it's not super rugged, I want to feel like I'm off the grid. I want to feel like I've got some kind of, I can release some stress. I can connect with nature a bit, but I want some distance from where I'm used to every day. So we're hitting on that. Sustainable values. Good gracious. If Ulster has not been the epitome of this from decades past, they've proven it through restaurant initiatives, through farming initiatives, and we're known for that. Work-life balance redefined. This is an economic development kind of situation that I'm not going to talk too much about now, but people are starting to get this momentum of I can work from anywhere. And even if people don't plan on moving to Ulster to work, when they get there, they're like, this is the way I should work. And that work-life balance, that kind of initiative and that thinking of I could work there, but I could also vacation there makes people feel good. There's also trends towards I can travel solo. I want to travel natural. I want to travel responsible, efficient, and focused. Ulster County has always hit on those things. And based on the markets that we're trying to pull from, this idea of spur of the moment, people aren't in the mindset of planning trips months and months out, especially with large itineraries. So this kind of, can I go there now? Can I do it quick? Can I see something or experience something I haven't before quickly? Spur of the moment, Ulster County has hit on all of these traditionally and continues to do so during this pandemic. I'll move on. Are we paused?
Maybe. Is Rachel frozen?
I'm frozen. Sorry.
Okay. I won't belabor this because I don't want to spend a lot of time on people looking at charts and graphs. But the one thing interesting that we tried to look at is, do people even want to see advertising? Are people over it in the sense that there are more important things to focus on in their families and in what their work or their life or their children or whatever are doing, and I don't want to see a bunch of brands? The fact of the matter is we had to question ourselves. We work in this industry, but we're not too self-indulgent not to even look in question about what we're doing. And the fact is we do have to look at this from time to time. And the fact is that people are still receptive to brands advertising even during trying times. As long as you're providing information that's useful to them and says, what is a solution? Don't try to sell me something. At least provide me a solution. And a lot of the messaging that we're putting out there is not buying anything. It's what kind of experience can we provide you that will fill some type of emotional or rational gap that you may have during this time. So again, I'll let the contingency kind of look at this afterwards. But if brands can talk about how they can be helpful in this time and in a new life that they may be seeing outside of this pandemic or otherwise, then I do want to see it. And I don't even mind if it's placed adjacently to some tough information that I'm getting on a day-to-day basis. If you're relevant and you can talk to me honestly, I still want to see it, is basically what this says. Moving on. And this is just, if brands can continue to hold their nerve while competitors, tourism or otherwise, are likely to reduce, then they can benefit strongly. This is just a nonsense piece of data that I'll just speak to Brian because he's the one on my screen here, that you may or may not buy, is that what they did is they basically took a beer company and said, let's run some algorithm scenarios to say that during this time, if we stay the same with our advertising, if we decrease by 50%, if we go dark completely, what would that mean for us? And statistically, it looked like they would lose 13% of their volume sales if they went dark or reduced their spending. I'm not going to purport to tell you or any of the ladies and gentlemen on this call that if we do less, it will equal that same thing. It was just a comparison to say that people are willing and accepting of brands telling me, here's what you can do for me now, and if you don't, there could be consequences. So I won't belabor this point too long. And finally, one statistic says that during this time, people are dreaming about vacations, whether they can or cannot take them or will not be willing to do so. The fact of the matter is that research says that people are thinking about it. They're cooped up. We're sleeping more. We're feeling nostalgic. We need to recuperate. We're talking about travel more. And Ulster County needs to continue to be part of the conversation, is all this slide basically says. So how would we do that responsibly if you move to the next slide? Well, we need to promote safety messages and initiatives still. We can't move away from that. But we need to continue to feed people's desire that's already innate and data proven that they're dreaming and they have a desire to go. So when they do, we need to be the top of mind to say, oh my gosh, the time is now. Where am I going to go? And that is Ulster County. We need to continue to promote businesses and attractions to locals. We can't forget that our primary, not only tourism, but our primary source of income and the people that are patronizing one another are ourselves. So let's not forget that. And finally, we can continue to bring Ulster County into people's homes in an emotional and a resonant way that they may need now more than ever.
Okay, and so I'm gonna walk you through what our high level strategy going into 2021 looks like. So we wanna maintain and build on the highly successful Seek for Yourself campaign, continuing to position Ulster County as that rejuvenating respite with room to roam where people can vacation responsibly, right? Continue to invest in digital and social advertising in the New York Metro and secondary markets as conditions allow, right? We're not gonna spread out to these secondary markets until we feel like that is the right move. And then updating the website, and that's something in the next slide I'll hit on, is that we did include some room just by making some budget shifts out of different line items to update the website that has been in place for several years. I know it predates our partnership for a better user experience and overall functionality. It is on a platform that is at end of life. So the platform that it was built on is going to no longer be supported at the end of 2021. We have some time to move before that happens, but that is the where our sites are for 2021. And then leverage, again, as Nikki and I talked about, updated audience intelligence data and continue to fine tune our targeting and reduce waste to continue to do more with the same or less, right? So, and then invest in travel data and management platforms. Again, as we talked about, we've installed Resonate through a partnership that we have with Belo to be able to just continue to leverage planning timeframes, length of visit, continue to drill down into what those psychographics are. Again, really aimed at being as efficient as we can with the dollars that we have. And so this budget, I know if I don't know how many of you on the call have flipped through our RFP response, but this is the same budget that we submitted with our RFP response. Again, I will give you guys, I'll allow you to line by line this at your leisure. These line items are something that were dictated to us. So these buckets of money or line items of budget were provided to us to allocate dollars out within at percentages. And so one of the things that we've done for 2021 is move a little bit of money out of the travel fund and a little bit of money out of the photography fund, a little bit of money out of the printing and production budget, and moved it into this website redesign and development to make room for a much needed update there. Okay, this is it. I'm gonna pass it back to Sean to talk through some kind of what if thoughts that we have for 2021 that, you know, we like to continue to push ourselves and you guys. If we only did what was comfortable, we'd be doing everyone an injustice. So I'll hand it over to Sean to kind of talk through some of these ideas.
I'm just going to say this. P.S. We're not lazy. I don't want to ever think that what we have done is all we can do. So let's think about some things we can do for 2021. If we buy all these things, great. If we don't buy any of them, great. But we have fun thinking about it. So let's think about some things we could possibly do. Number one, we have something called the Food for Thought truck. Everybody's been to a food truck, but I don't know how many of them make you think about anything other than shoving something in your mouth or buying a lobster roll. So in this sense, there's a possible way that we can talk about economic opportunities. We can talk about tourism opportunities while providing an experience that's out of Ulster County that gets them thinking about us. Number two, I love this idea about an experience roulette. Essentially, this is an interactive app where maybe people don't know exactly what they want in Ulster County. They don't know what we have to offer. So maybe we let them choose by color. Let them pick a color. Let them pick a mood. Let them pick a type of experience. So I want red. I want calm. I want quirky. And this would kind of do a little spin roulette thing. And it's in this case, it's Minnewaska State Park, and say, hey, I think it's a kind of a fun idea where like you may want to try it once or twice or three times to figure out, oh my gosh, like if I pick my mood and my color and some other things, it may lead me to discover or seek for myself what they may have to offer that I didn't know that they had. Just a fun, interactive way to interact with a brand. What if we put the brand in places where it was in places where they were already kind of sick of being or felt cooped up, and give them just a glimpse or a little bit of a selfie experience on the right hand side. On the left, can we docu-series some of the creative thinkers and entrepreneurs and makers that we have in Ulster County? Can we provide digital experiences where it gives you with some alternative reality, it makes you feel like you're there without even being there yet? Can we provide breath of fresh air videos where people are in places where they may or may not want to see something else, and we can kind of give them a glimpse of Ulster County? Could we provide some parklets? Yay, it's not Central Park, but could we make a park central to some people's experiences? I love this idea that one of the creatives had, that the people have a moment of zen. Why can't we give them a moment of zen? Serve them, have a little parklet that serves some locally sourced wines that give them an experience of what you might be able to interact with or experiences you might want to have in Ulster County, and build a little place of respite in places that may be a little bit chaotic. And finally, could we put some secret kind of little art exhibits in some walls around different places where there's a moment to take an Instagram photo of yourself, and at different times of the day, maybe that the art is flat, but it's when the sun hits it in a certain way, it reveals seek for yourself. So there's a lot of fun ideas that we can do interactive wise that, again, get people's wheels turning, much like the makers, the artists, the manufacturers, the bed and breakfast entrepreneurs that are running businesses in Ulster County. And let's get people out of Ulster County thinking like people that live there so that they want to explore and see what this is like. And again, thank you for your time. I appreciate it. And finally, plenty of counties and cities do branding. I think it's pretty crappy most of the time. But maybe there's a way not to just sell merchandise, but can we spread the mantra of Ulster County? In this way, seek for yourself doesn't just tell people come visit here. It says this is the way you want to live. This is the way you want to think. And I think we could be kind of on the forefront of that from a merchandising standpoint for Ulster County.
Well, thank you very much. That was a very thorough and enjoyable presentation. There's a lot of information there, and I'm sure I'm going to ask that we stop sharing the screen so I can see if anyone has any questions. They can raise their hands and we can go from there. Anyone on our committee have any questions at this point? I have a couple. Oh, go ahead, Herb, and then I'll go. Thank you.
Well, it's not really a question, but when I travel around our area and stop in the throughway rest areas, I see a lot of people walking out with the Ulster County Travel Guide. And I know we've had this discussion several times, but I don't think it should be a dead media. There's a lot of people that pick that up and wind up pulling off one of our exits in the county to have an adventure, only because that's what they picked up in the rest area.
So Herb, I think that's a really good point. I do, and I think my colleagues would agree with me, people travel in different ways. Not everyone books their trip based off of a digital experience. Some people are more tactile and want that travel guide. And I would say that I am of the same ilk as you, and that when I go to a place, I like to pick up the travel guide because I'm also not much of a planner and I'm more of a spur of the moment type of person. And so I like to have that travel guide when I'm in market. So for what that's worth.
Thank you. Anyone have any questions before I ask a couple? Go ahead, Laura.
Thank you. Given, and you brought up the COVID pandemic several times, are you rethinking where you're going to be doing more advertising? I mean, being out in the public, I'm seeing this, you know, surge of city people escaping from the city. So would you still focus on the city or perhaps, I like the marketing that the city can find. You know, you're thinking about focusing more in Ulster County to try these new folks who have just come here and they don't really know the area, and let's get them to spend some money?
So for tourism, we spend 99.9% dollars out of market. And Lisa, correct me if I'm wrong there, but the majority of advertising is done out of county to make sure that those dollars we spend are bringing in new money. The whole in-market stuff, I think, is a slightly different branch or would maybe be a slightly different type of approach. But we truly focus on outside of market. And to your point of people fleeing cities, we've seen it kind of going both ways. People moving to cities, people moving to more rural communities or just communities, suburban communities, all those different things. And what we really focus on is looking at the data and seeing, okay, you know, it's not about a DMA. If you think about it from that perspective as of a targeting, it's about a zip code. So that zip code might be in Connecticut. And it might be in a kind of a bedroom community, but if that is an area we're gaining a lot of traction, we would shift dollars accordingly. So I think, yes, we try to stay on top of what our most recent data is telling us about the movement of the people who fit our demographics. And if that is that they have chosen to move outside of New York City, then we will gladly move with them as long as they continue to hit our other, you know, demos, psychographic, other things that align them well with us.
Legislator Archer, sorry.
I have to get mine off now, too. You talked about your positioning strategy being adaptable, and I see that in Seek for Yourself and the various options it provides. But you kept talking about how well it has helped through COVID. Do you have data that supports that? I mean, I'm hearing from, you know, our lodging coalition that, you know, a lot of them are struggling. And yet we're seeing bookings up by 23%. Is that compared to last year, or was it not used as much? I'm just trying to glean where you're seeing that your brand positioning has helped even through COVID and how it's correlating with bookings and lodging, et cetera.
Absolutely.
I'd like to dovetail into Legislator Archer's question specifically to say, what is the source of your data? You mentioned data throughout your entire presentation, and I work for the chief data officer at IBM, so I love data. So I just want to know, you know, what is your source of the data that you use for, you know, all of the other things that you develop here?
Absolutely. So we don't focus in on one single source. We pull from multiple sources. And when we talk about, I know, Lynn, you said that bookings were up by 23%. Our lodging referrals from our website are up by 23%. Now, once they leave our site, all we know is that we sent a referral to that lodging partner. We can't tell if they booked, right? And we made a lot of shifts in our social strategies, like I mentioned before, of making sure that we were really, really supporting the lodging partners, the local restaurants and things like that. And one of the things that we did in that effort was to take all of the lodging properties that are on within the directory of the website. And we have an integration called Book Direct that enables us to have insight into those lodging referrals. And so all of the properties that are in the Book Direct integration platform, we also put them onto Pinterest and promoted them there as well. And we do attribute that increase in lodging referrals to that effort of adding all of those properties onto Pinterest and promoting them there. And so that's where that referral metric came from, was specifically Book Direct. And then I'll let Nikki speak to where we pull data from for other sources, because she
Can I just follow up on that before we move, if that's okay, Chairman?
Absolutely.
If it's bookings and it's just a referral, if we're talking about a new platform, I mean, in some ways, it's only as good as the booking occurred. So a referral is a referral. But if we can't measure if it's actually created a relationship with the lodging and a reservation, then I'm not quite sure the value add of that piece. And will the new website be able to have a better linkage where the referral, we can at least measure what's happening or what isn't?
So that would require the lodging properties to share that information back with us. That's the kind of the missing link. Once they leave our site, we don't really have any insight into the actions that they take after that. The other possibility, and it's not something that we have included in the website budget, but would be to have a booking engine on your site. And then that way you do have insight into the full full booking relationship. I will say that most lodging partners do not like that. They want to control the booking. And to have insight into the full process, we would require that they share information back to them. But I will say that the Book Direct integration has been on the site for many years. And this is by far the largest number of referrals we have ever provided to those lodging partners. So we really do see that as a win.
Do you think that's COVID related, or is it because you've done something different that has?
I think it's both. I think that our the targeting and the messaging in our ads is really resonating with our target audience, right? So I think that's one piece of it. I think the second piece of it is that, as Sean talked through, people's mental state is they're really seeking out the less traveled, more, less crowded type of vacations. They're also looking for shorter vacations. So where can I go for a day or 2 days, or, which Ulster County is perfectly positioned for that target audience. And then thirdly, I do attribute the strategy of adding those lodging partners onto Pinterest when we saw huge increase in engagement on Pinterest as a global trend. We were very quick to leverage that for Ulster County to make sure that we were well positioned and capitalizing on that for the county.
And if I may, Lynn, I'd just like to jump in here for one quick second to back up some of what they said with information, data, and numbers. So what we do know is statewide that revenue in the travel industry is down, especially in the accommodation sector. I'm sorry, I should say in the accommodation sector is down anywhere from 25% to 70%, depending on the sector of the accommodations that you're in. And so what we saw in this pandemic is that the accommodations at the cheaper end of the spectrum lost about 25% in this, and the really high-end resorts lost anywhere from 60 to 75% of their business. Now, what's interesting from our own county data is that our occupancy tax numbers are only off by 30%. That speaks volumes to the work that was done to maintain image, maintain presence, to drive people to the website. It really does, or we would look worse. And when you look at our employment numbers, part of, you know, their strategy of, you know, pushing like the places to pick up food and finding a variety of places that you might be able to stay was very helpful locally to locals as well as to the business overall. And if you look at another statistic, which is our unemployment numbers in the tourism and hospitality sector, we are only down by 3.3% in that category when everybody else is in double digit losses within the region. And, you know, I can't help but think that the branding, the communication, the way that they positioned had a lot to do with numbers that were so, that looked so good. And it's not to say that people aren't in pain, they are, but it could be worse.
So Nikki, I don't want to skip over, Brian, your piece of the question. So Nikki, you want to talk through where our other data sources are?
Absolutely. So we work with two main entities, both facets within BLO to really get our data. Well, they're our data scientists, I guess I should say. And so what we're using mostly is data you're really familiar with, you know, third-party data, available, a lot of stuff from Experian and the big, you know, credit companies and everything like that. So we're getting a lot of that publicly available data. And how we're applying it and how we're making it relevant is through that mobility data. So truly using anonymized mobile devices to track, like, hey, this person is coming from here to here. You can't see who they are, but they are this Experian Mosaic profile. And so that is giving us a lot of that layering on top of there. And then on the, in addition to that, man, I just lost my train of thought there. But so, we also layer on first party data. So whether it be, you know, information we'll be able to start getting from our website that's kind of having it there, or email addresses from people who have subscribed to newsletters in the past, you know, any source of data that helps us take that third party approximation and really hone in and get very specific is kind of the layering that we've done for this data. And I actually have a list of all our data sources, just not in front of me, I apologize. But I can provide that as well if that's something you want to dive into more. And our data scientist is a man named Nate Brendel, and he loves to talk data. So I'm sure he would love to hop on a call with you whenever and just, you know, dive in as only two very data-minded men could.
Oh, yeah, thank you. No, I got it. I got the gist. I mean, you guys use a form of structured data and unstructured data. You know, you have lists that you can go from, and then unstructured data is the other stuff where you see this person was here and we know they went from here to here to here. So you have to piece that in there. I understand. That's very good. Thank you. Any other questions? Legislator Bruno first, then we'll go back to you, Legislator Litz.
First of all, I want to, I mean, you guys did an awesome job. I mean, everything I've seen, you guys put it together real well. But one thing I saw that was missing is Ulster County has probably one of the largest base of celebrities, and I'm using that lightly, from everybody from Robert De Niro to musicians in Woodstock, to New Paltz, to artists, to everywhere. And one of the most successful ad campaigns nationally was the I Love New York. And what I'm thinking is something along the lines of I Love Ulster County, and incorporate these celebrities to come out and do an ad campaign for us and help us out. And I'm sure a lot of them would probably love to do it. Now, I'm not saying necessarily Robert De Niro would, but there's a lot of them out there, from Amy Helm to multiple musicians from the Woodstock and New Paltz artist area. And I don't see any of that in this program. And I think that campaign, given the right traction and given put together correctly, I mean, there's studios in Gardner that do all the special effects for New York City movies and stuff like that that are still available. And Ulster County has so many things besides just the fishing creeks and the mountaintops and stuff. And I think with the right ad campaign, this thing could explode.
Albert. I'm just going to – this is me, and I'm going to probably get slapped for this, but I 100% agree with you. I love the thought process. You know, everything that's being done with Stockade Works we got to leverage that. The level of interest on their part it remains to be seen. It has been brainstormed many times, Albert, so I'm 100% with you. Want to do it. I feel like we got to do it. We got to get a hook. We got to get a hook for these folks that feel like they want to participate. They see the value in it. And I just wanted to let you know that is a dream that has been had, and it is a dream that we will not let die. And I want to go there.
I mean, I think that's the only, if you want to call it constructive criticism or whatever you want to call it, I just think that is an avenue that we haven't explored enough in Ulster County that I think could be huge for us.
Absolutely.
Agreed.
And I want to echo Sean. We have concepted ideas that revolve around that. I will also say some of those celebrities' willingness is very surrounded by money.
Maybe, but sometimes it's how you approach them.
Yeah, I mean, hey, you've got
a new reference to Hero. Hook us up.
We want to go there. We will go there.
You got to make it worth their while.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah, we have explored what the investment level would take.
I mean, we have a new celebrity, Ian Flanagan from Sorgerty's, who's on The Voice right now, who's just rocking the country. And I mean, huge. He would, I'm sure, anything we could do.
Yeah.
Well, I want to move on to one of our local celebrities, legislator Herb Litz.
You don't get any bigger than that.
And then we'll move on to legislator Archer after him.
Boy, I'm glad I wore my suit jacket. one thing that comes to mind is we get plus or minus a million visitors to the walkway over to Hudson. We somehow have to tap into either media or whatever. When people, go on a website and search, you know, the walkway, somehow we got to get Ulster County in front of them, either a link or something, because they're not spending a lot of money in Ulster County. They're spending money in Dutchess County. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I don't think the people that go there are aware of what Ulster County has. Mm-hmm. You know, Mohonk Mountain and I mean, obviously they walk the trails, but you know, there's so much more to Ulster County than what they see. Because I'm going to tell you, if anybody walks the walkway over the Hudson, it's breathless. It's beautiful. There are no words for it on a great day. But they keep going east. We need to keep them on the west side somehow. Maybe that's a good place to dump some travel guides, you know.
Yeah.
So people pick it up when they're there. Because, listen, they're there for 3-4 hours. They're not going to spend more time than that. And they're typically up for a weekend. So rather than go into Dutchess County, you know, let's pick some apples in Gardner or Milton Let's go to Mall Honk. Let's go to restaurants. Let's, they obviously are out for nature. They should go up to the Ashokan trail, which is ends of the spectrum, and Ulster County's in between. So we need to keep them longer, and we need them to spend.
Yeah, I'm writing down ideas as you speak, because I think some sort of, and we can explore the possibilities of doing some sort of installation that's on the opposite side that will drive people to stay once they get to the Ulster, the outside.
In fairness,
the walkway is the hook.
Mm-hmm. I'll jump in and get my hand slapped by my handlers, Herb and Albert. But I'm 100% willing with this group here. Q1, we are not, I think we're pretty smart, but we're not the end-all be-all in terms of ideas and intelligence. And if there is a possibility to get on something like this, I know that everyone's used to this kind of format now. I'm not opposed to getting on a call like this and having a very loose agenda and rapping about ideas like this and see what can be possible. Not everything would be possible, but I'm not opposed to thinking about it. And, you know, I I've been doing this a long time, but it doesn't mean I know everything. And as I has said very early on in this call, I've been to Ulster County many, many times, but I don't have a house in Kingston and I don't have a house in Saugerty. So, you know, if we can get a group together and some people throw out some stuff, we'll do our due diligence to explore it and see what the possibilities are of making it happen. I promise you.
And I'll even find you a house.
Happy.
Yeah, there you go. Perfect.
I'm telling you, Kingston's my jam. Please don't ever let
good luck.
Don't let Rocket Number 9 shut down. That's my spot. Yeah. I gotta eat a hot dog across the street, get a prime rib from Boysen's, and buy about $100 worth of records.
There you go. All right, Legislator Archer, and then I think.
Yeah, I just want to focus in a couple of things on the budget. I think you created a compelling argument for branding Ulster County even during COVID, so I appreciate that. But I do want to zero in on a couple of things in the budget. I assume, and Lisa, maybe you can answer this. Did we set the buckets for each of these components, or was this part of the proposal that you developed and then presented to us?
These items
from the RFP is
my I'm answer. Sorry, I missed that.
I'm sorry. The buckets, if you will, are from the RFP. And
right.
It's my understanding that the basic writing of that RFP dates way back more than 7 years. Like, it's not really been changed that much. And Rachel, do you have something else you'd like to add?
No,
And so it looks pretty consistent to what we've seen in the past. And I guess what my focus is on this, you know, we are in the midst of a pandemic. 27% of the budget is focused around travel, which I'm not quite sure how much of that is getting done. And so that's one thing I would like, you know, to take a look at. You know, we're all struggling budgetarily. I think it's impacted your business as well. So I would just ask to take a look at that. And one of the other items on the photography side, you know, we have some amazing photojournalists that live in our community and contribute photography all over the place. And so, and some of it, I for a nominal fee, some of it, it may be cost prohibitive, but I think that, you know, there's an opportunity to get a little creative here because we have a lot of local photographers that capture Ulster County at its best. And I think there's some opportunity there. I'm just looking at tightening a budget and looking at where we can, take a second look at everything, which is, you know, and I hear Legislator Litt's concern about the media and the travel guide, which has been significant conversation around that at the table. But again, it's just, I'm not sure how often you get here, and do we need to with Zoom format, given what, you know, is we're currently grappling with. So just a couple of things I would hope we could take a look at as we work through next year.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Legislative.
Oh, go ahead, Billy.
All right, Rachel, I was just going to say, yes, 100%. You know, I think the purpose of the RFP wasn't to say, it wasn't our intention to say, here's the budget, take it or leave it. Like, okay, now you want to engage us again for another year. Now let's have this conversation. You're going to give us a budget allocation, and now it's up to us collectively to say, how do we best spend this money? In regards to photography, absolutely. If there are, and when we do photography, and Rachel, correct me if I'm wrong.
We actually worked with an in-market photographer this year,
and
reduced that photography budget. And so, and same thing when with the travel budget, we actually reallocated the travel budget this year. So it wasn't budget that just wasn't used, or we reallocated it to media dollars so that we could do more messaging, make it work when it wasn't being used. So 100%, we are with you. And I did reduce both of those budgets based off of previous years because of some of the same concerns that you're sharing. And so I 100% in line with you. I will say that, God willing, the pandemic will not be going on through the full year of 2021. And we do think it's important to come in market and be boots on ground at least once a year. That's just staying connected with the team there in a face-to-face manner. Not that we don't see them every week, because we do, but just being in the community and seeing them and just staying connected there, it is something that's important to us. But 100%, you guys do have a bunch of fantastic local photographers that we've worked with several times. So we are open to flexibility.
And perhaps, Lisa, when we get ready for, we can take a look at the buckets and the percentages that are attached. Because like I said, it did mirror with the exception of the website, which I agree, we need to have a more user-friendly website, particularly if the platform is not viable anymore. So, but thank you for the presentation. I really appreciate your coming.
I just got one more quick question, and then I think that we'll wrap it up unless anyone else has anything else. And that's, you mentioned the newsletter is distributed. How often is that distributed? Is it distributed quarterly or seasonally? And then how is it distributed? Through email? You have an email list? Yeah. Yep, so
quarterly
now.
Email.
I'm sorry?
Quarterly via email.
Quarterly via email. Now, is there going to be any emphasis to expand that email list since we no longer have the hard copy guide? Putting it directly in somebody's mailbox is always probably the best way to get it there, right? Has there been any thought to maybe trying to expand that, maybe purchase some email addresses or something like that? I don't know.
Yep. So we actually have started, using our same data scientists and all that information, we have a facet of Belo and Company that specializes in list sourcing, both for email and direct mail. And to your point, sometimes some people do need the tactile. So there's even the opportunity where we buy the email list and they all come with corresponding physical addresses as well. So we can do that multiple touch point as well. So we've looked at that for a couple of their clients, and that's definitely something we would look at getting into moving forward. And, I wanted to mention some of the money that we had reallocated from travel, we also put towards tactics that would serve us well in the long run. So growing our communities on social, so that then we can later target them at no cost, even when we're outside of this pandemic. So kind of similar thought there with email is growing that list allows us then to market to them as long as they opt in to our newsletter at little to no cost. So really is going to be a big focus.
Great. Thank you. Anyone else have any other questions for the folks here from Belo today? All right. As chairman of the committee, I just want to, again, thank you very much for a very thorough and educational presentation. That's going to help us going forward throughout the year here. And I just want to, again, thank you for your time. I know it's tough getting together in the evenings like this for some folks, you know, and I do appreciate you taking time out of your busy day. Thank you.
Much appreciated, well, Brian. Thank you so much.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Take care.
Yeah.
All right, folks. We'll jump right into our agenda. And Legislator Bartels was going to try and join us tonight, but I didn't think she's going to make it now. Go ahead, Legislator Archer.
Yeah, she had to step away, but she'd asked, and I think she mentioned it to you, Chairman,
about
postponing it. She's still in the midst of doing some, having some conversations, so if we could postpone it another month, that would be great.
Right, so I'll entertain a motion to postpone.
I'll make the motion.
Okay, a second. Legislator Uchitel, all in favor? Aye.
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 Opposed?
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, so we're going to move on to Resolution 442, which is setting a public hearing on the sale and or transfer of lands owned by Ulster County located Enterprise West, Town of Ulster, to be held on Monday, January 11th, 2021 at 6:20 p.m. So we had an amendment to the resolution that was first. Yeah, let's make a motion to discuss. Sorry.
I'll make a motion for discussion.
Okay. And then second by Legislator Uchitel. Thank you. So we had a an amendment made to that resolution during the day today, be more specific to the property, to put the SBL lines in, et cetera. So I'm going to share the updated resolution so everyone can take a look at it. I sent it to you, but I don't know if you got it in time. So we'll just look at it here. So this is, and Tim, correct me if I'm wrong at any time here, but what I think I have highlighted is the changes in what from the original one. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So basically, well, does anyone have any questions about it before we go further? All right, Legislator Archer.
Yeah, we're just going to move it there. We're not doing any RFP or anything prior to moving it to USITA. It's just going to USITA. Is that correct?
Well, so the way it was explained, and Tim, I'll give Tim an opportunity to correct me if I make a mistake. The way it was explained to me, no matter what we do, we have to put it into an LBC of an LDC of some sort to move forward. Once it's in the LDC, then we can go ahead and do anything we want with it or nothing, right? But in order to take action on it and take it out of the county's property, out of their hands, so we can do things with it, it has to be put into an LDC. You know, doesn't mean you do anything, doesn't mean, you know, we're going to or not going to, but the first step, and, you know, we all talked about the county not wanting to be in the landlord business and not wanting to, you know, be saddled with this for a long period of time. Well, this is the first step to make sure that doesn't happen.
Yeah. Go ahead. Chair Gale, if I just might add that but even before that discussion, the first step is a public hearing. And so this is an effort to engage the public, allow for public comment, and to set really a time frame for us to come back to you all with more details about at least one and maybe more than one option of how to dispose of the property. And so Legislator Archer, you know, I think the fact as Legislator Cahill put it is that no matter how we choose to dispose of this property, if we wish it to be other than by public auction, a surplus to an LDC is the required step.
Right. Okay, go ahead, Legislator Archer.
Thank you. So I get that it would have to go to the LDC, but I was hoping that we would have some determination on disposition prior to moving it there, or at least further conversation, which is what we all spoke about. And so I'm just trying to get clarity as we go forward that, you know, there, you know, let's say we have the, just hypothetically, you know, we'll have the public hearing in January. So are we going to get a resolution in February moving the property into the into an LDC without any further conversation or disposition on what the course of action is. And that's what I'm trying to get at.
And I would respond, not without further conversation. I think, as you know, there are reasons, including interest from potential tenants, to move with all due haste. But I understand and completely appreciate the need to have a conversation about what that disposition is. And I think that the public hearing is a part of that conversation. And so that's why we've submitted to Chairman Cahill this resolution and would like to move forward with the public hearing so that then we have the option, if all parties agree, to move towards a surplus as quickly as possible.
Which means that there's not sufficient time to really explore other options. So, which means you have no intention of doing an RFP or anything to moving it there, correct?
So let's Tim and then Dr. Wright, if you want to go ahead, I know that you had your hand up there. Yeah.
Yeah, I would just say that the possibility of an RFP still remains even with a surplus action. And I think that's our intention, is to discuss between now and the public hearing and then following the public hearing before a resolution to actually surplus the property, to engage in a conversation with you all and with other members of the legislature and other stakeholders about what the best disposition of this property is. Evelyn, if you want to add anything more to that.
Yeah, I just want to add, thanks, that everything that we've talked about in terms of exploring more options, talking about institutional arrangements, issuing the RFP, that is all still in progress. So you're seeing the resolution for the public hearing tonight in respect of the legislature's calendar and the work you do in January, so that if we have all arrived at the point where we want to do a surplus in February, it's possible. It won't be possible unless we set the public hearing. So it's not that we are trying to march down a track without doing those steps. We just looked at the calendar and said, oh my goodness, we better get this in this month so that if we want to move it in February, we're ready to do so. If we decide at that point that it's not timely yet, we don't have to do it then.
Anyone on the committee have anything they want to add before I go to Deputy Ryder? Okay, go ahead, Mark.
Just from a procurement and disposition perspective, this is similar to other properties that we've done where we've done the surplus and then the LDC does the RFP. So this is in line with other properties, whether it be the Golden Hill housing property or others that we've surplused in the past. This is the same process that we followed.
Legislator Archer.
And I totally get that, but we had a clearer idea of what the disposition of the property was going to be or close to it. This one is a little bit different in that there have been many options that have been presented, many ways of approaching this, and I feel like we still have some conversation that needs to be had before it gets finalized. And that's all I'm suggesting. I'm not opposed to a public hearing. I'm just, we keep hearing that we're going to have the conversation further. And I'd like to understand how that's going to occur. Will the body be part of that conversation or only when it comes time to approve a resolution?
I can promise you this, that if it's up to me, it will be well before that time. And I will be bugging Tim. I speak to Tim frequently, and I will make sure, and Dr. Wright as well, and I will make sure to continue to do that. And this is front and center in our conversations. And I will promise you that, I will hold their feet to the fire to make sure that they're bringing back to this committee any actions that they plan on doing or would like to do. It's going to come before the committee and obviously the greater legislature overall. When the time comes, this is not going to be done blindly. It's not going to be shoved down our throats down to the last minute. This is a big, big deal. This has tremendous impact for the long term in Ulster County, how this ends up. Right. And we have to be exceedingly cautious on how we approach this. And the more minds that we can put together to discuss it and come up with ideas, I think the better off we'll be. So I'm with you 100% on that, Legislator Archer.
Thank you, Chairman.
Anyone else have any suggestions or questions before we move to vote? Okay. All those in favor of the amended resolution? Aye.
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 All those opposed? Okay, thank you. We're going to move on to resolution 443, which is appointing an alternate member to the Ulster County Planning Board for the town of Rochester. Legislator Archer and Legislator Litz. Any discussion? Okay, all those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Resolution 458, which is approving the execution of a contract amendment for $58,805.59 entered into by the county to RTB Incorporated doing business as Continuance Systems for Information Services.
Move it for discussion.
Okay, and a second.
Second
from Legislator Corcoran. Okay, and we'll let Director Macaluso explain what this is, if you don't mind.
Sure. So this is for the renewal, an annual software support and maintenance for on-base document management system, which is used countywide for storage of digital documents and archival documents. It's a lot, also part of our workflow processing that we use for invoicing, and it interfaces with New World financial systems. So it's our electronic management document management system.
Great. Thank you. Any questions? Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, great. So this is the last resolution, resolution 459, which is approving the execution of a contract amendment for $16,238.25, causing the aggregate contract plus amendment amount to be in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county with National Business Equipment LLC for information services. Motion for discussion. Second.
Second.
All right. So again, Mr. Macaluso, if you don't mind.
Sure. So this is a little quirky. I mean, it's an amendment. Is actually a reduction in the overall contract, not to exceed. What ended up happening is we caught that National was when we revisited the contract due to COVID-19, as we noticed our reduction in printing costs, we worked out a reduction in our monthly fees, and it was based initially on. We specified it is based on our usage, the actual usage data. And initially when we did the initial amendment that preceded this, National based it on what was specified in the previous contract. So we had to then balance it out when we were looking at the actual usage, which is actually less than what they were. That was specified in the previous contract. We had to amend it so that we were getting a reduced rate contractually.
Yeah. Great. Any more like that? I'm just kidding. Legislator Archer wants as many of those as you can get.
Yeah.
All right. All those in favor? Aye.
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 All right, great. So that ends our resolutions. And is there any old business that anyone would like to discuss tonight? Okay, hearing none, is there any new business that anyone would like to discuss tonight? Okay, hearing none, accept the motion for adjournment.
I'll make a motion, Mr. Chairman, for adjournment.
And a second?
Second. I'll second it.
Oh, we have 4 seconds. That's good.
Yeah, wow.
That's not a record, though. All right, well, again, I just want to thank you guys for putting up with these meetings tend to go long for some reason. We have a lot of information put before us each month, and I appreciate your patience and taking the time to listen to what these folks are giving us to help us with our decisions going forward. Thank you all, and have a very safe and nice end of the week.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.
Take care. Be safe. Stay healthy.
Bye-bye.